This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two of the most pivotal games in the history of the Foxborough football franchise were played against their opponent this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. Of course, at the time, the franchise was located in St. Louis, and then, of course, it relocated back to Los Angeles, where it had been years before. Never mind, be that as it may, Rams versus Patriots has some true history to it. The Patriots are 9-6 all-time against the Ramalama Jammas, and they're looking to kick it up to a 10 spot on Sunday. And believe this or not, one of us thinks this could be a get-right game for the Patriots, and the other one believes it could be a get-wrong game for the Patriots. Let's find out as we preview today's edition of the Six Rings of Football Things podcast. We preview Sunday's game, the Rams at Patriots, 1 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. As always, you got your old pal, Andy Jumbo Hart from WEEI Afternoons, who is currently, if you're watching live across the EEI and Fitzy GFY socials, looking at his laptop or his phone. And I, of course, am Nick Fitzy Stevens, your old pal, Fitzy GFY from the Six Rings postgame show and every other thing on EEI and all your favorite platforms. All right, Hart. The vibe is starting to get.
Can you hear me?
I can't. Oh, I can't see you. You're frozen.
Yeah, I'm frozen on my screen, too.
What the hell happened? I was like, wow, look at this guy. What a dink. He's just sitting there staring at his phone.
Nope. Not moving. I mean, I'm moving in real life, but on my screen, I'm not moving.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I paid the bill for the plan, so obviously the streaming platform is working. But all right, everybody, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you once again for tuning in, however you choose to subscribe, whether it's the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple Pods, or whatever else. If you're watching live on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials as we record late Thursday morning on November 13th, Andy Hart's face is frozen. He is staring down, which is exactly how he feels about the Patriots, but I don't. And now let us now understand. Look at this. The comments are already coming in. Is Andy cosplaying as John Cena today? Jeff Stenberg, a favorite agitator of the Heart. Not seeing Andy is an improvement on the podcast.
Go double F yourself, Jeff.
All right. This is so surreal. Okay. I mean, we're not going to restart. So here
Can
we
I
are.
Get naked?
No, please, God, why? No.
I mean, put my you-know-whats on my drum set.
Because if you don't do it, you want to do karate in the garage? All right, Andy. So the Patriots coming in off of a beatdown of the Chicago Bears last week, 19-3 at Soldier Field. It was a lopsided affair. The Patriots and their fans may be feeling pretty good about the way things are rolling right now. Lots of praise from head coach Gerard Mayo for Drake May, for Alex Van Pelt. Drake May loving him some Van Pelt. Everybody kind of kumbayaing their way through the week in Pats Nation. Whereas the Rams had a big game on Monday night with the full comportment of their weapons At home, or whatever the hell you want to call home for SoFi Field, which always feels like it's a host for away teams, against the Dolphins. And they kind of got beat down 23-15 final, and it didn't even really feel like it was that close. The Rams never actually putting the ball in the end zone, just a pile of field goals against the Dolphins. So the Rams come in a little gimpy. The Rams come in licking their wounds. The Patriots are kind of feeling themselves a little bit. But yet you, if I'm not mistaken, don't necessarily feel like this is a great game or a great matchup for the Patriots to get going on a streak or start a heater.
No, I think the Rams are the better, more talented football team. You know, I know they've had some issues this year, although they got some nice wins. I mean, they beat the 49ers. They beat the Vikings, even though they're a sub 500 team. They're getting healthy at the receiver position. If I'm a Rams fan, there wasn't a lot to like in that Dolphins game. But seeing Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp combine for like 15 catches or whatever is a step in the right direction. And their defensive front is really good and really young. They have the Fisk kid, and Jared Verse is probably the defensive rookie of the year in my mind. And
love that Fisk. By the way, love the Fisk kid, the Braden Fisk out of Florida State. He was so impressive at the combine, man.
I think both of them are going to be studs on that defensive front for a long time and work in conjunction with each other. And this is a Rams team that, you know, there's this feel good story in New England. Oh, we're going to have the same offensive line 2 weeks in a row, and we're coming off a win and got some momentum and blah, blah, blah. I think this could be a get wrong game for the Patriots offensive line and offense as a whole. I continue to say my guy, Drake May, hasn't his truly elite game, which I think is coming. I think there's a 3 or a 4 touchdown, no interception kind of game coming. I don't think it's this game. And he hasn't really had his stinker game either. You know, there's been plays within games that he'd like to have. I worry that this could be his stinker game, in part due to that defensive front, that defensive line, his offensive line. I'm not sold you're going to score a lot of points on them, and a couple turnovers could sway this. So, yeah, I'm a little concerned that this is a get-right game for the Rams and a get-wrong game for the Patriots.
Okay, one of our viewers, Michael Jeffrey, just said, one thing to keep an eye on is how enormous the coaching mismatch is in this game. Gerard Mayo kind of trying to grow into his own. Sean McVay, one of those names that everybody wants to pluck a branch or a leaf from on his particular coaching tree, see if they can bring it home, plant it in their garden, and sow and reap the benefits of his offensive wizardry. Of course, we all remember when he pledged fealty and admiration, Chris Farley style, to Bill Belichick before Super Bowl 53. Hey, man, I just really want to let you know you're awesome. I really admire you. Like all this stuff. Yeah, okay, we're going to beat you later on. Wait till you see what we got planned for you. And Belichick and the Patriots dominated 13-3 back in Super Bowl 53. However, now, I agree, they do have an excellent young defensive front, but their secondary can be had. Let's take a look at the defensive and offensive rankings coming into this game. Andy, the Patriots right now have the 19th overall defense, pretty much an even slightly better pass defense than rush defense. The Rams with the 22nd overall defense. You can definitely throw on the Rams. Their rushing defense, though, is getting better by the week. And would you believe that when you look at a team that has Matthew Stafford, now has Puka Nacua, now has Cooper Kupp, their offense is ranked 20th, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they struggled for a while when both Puka and Kupp were back. Now they've got that wicked twin tandem. Plus DeMarcus Robinson, who's having a great year as the number 3 receiver on the team. And you got little Tutu Atwell, which is like Tank Dell light, the kind of player that usually gives the Patriots fits. I think this game is going to be a real test for and stress the secondary of the Patriots, in a word, bigly.
Yeah, and we know that Christian Gonzalez is probably going to have a good game because he's pretty much had good games the entire time he's been in the National Football League. We know he'll get a lesson, probably learn something from Nacua or Kupp or both, whoever he's matched up against.
Yeah, your early prediction for who matches up on who?
I think you probably put Kupp with, Gonzalez on Kupp, and probably go John Jones with Nacua in that area. Ooh, we'll see.
Tough matchup.
I mean, that's the reality of a lot of these teams that have multiple receivers. You got to figure it out. You know, it'd be interesting to see what the safety position looks like behind that, because I think that's part of the story here. But yeah, no, this is going to be a challenge for the secondary. I think it's a challenge for pretty much everybody in a New England uniform in some ways. Kyren Williams is not having a great year, under 4 yards a carry, but he is, you know, their every down back kind of guy. He always seems to find a way into the end zone, as most people know, especially if you're a fantasy football player. The run defense. So we got a little breaking news here today that Christian Barmore is returning to the practice field for the Patriots,
which is massive. Now, as we record Thursday morning and stream live, do you think there is any chance that he actually sees a couple of snaps on? It would seem kind of quick, but.
Yeah, I would say no. I would say no. Okay. But I think it's a feel good, and it's, you know, moving forward. Certainly next week, I think he'll be in line, assuming everything goes as planned this week in practice and early next week in practice. I think he'll be in line. Yannick Ngakoue is finally in the building. He decided he would actually show up and play for the Patriots. So
how do you like that? Wear number 55. So that actually is not Josh Uche out there. That is Yannick Ngakoue. Perhaps will he have, what do you think for him? Maybe like, you know, first game in 15 to 20 snaps, just sort of like those pin your ears back and get after him type of snaps.
Yeah. I mean, I know they're talking him up as a three down player and maybe he will end up being that, but I don't think you can ask him to do that right out the gate. Certainly. So yeah, I would say 10, 15 plays is probably the range for him. See if he can contribute getting after Matthew Stafford, which is obviously going to be important. Matthew Stafford is probably one of the more underrated quarterbacks of his generation, if we're being honest.
Super Bowl winner is somehow still underrated. Isn't that wild?
Super Bowl winner, but beyond that, just watch him. Like, he can move around. He's sneaky athletic in the pocket and then can literally, I know we say this way too often, can literally make every throw, has always been able to make every throw going back to Georgia. So if you can get a little something out of Ngakoue, and I mean, I think it's very unrealistic for the pass rush to expect they're going to kind of pick up where they left off a week ago when they had 9 sacks against that abysmal Bears offensive line and quarterback and coordinator and everything that went on there.
What a mess.
But you need to make Matthew Stafford uncomfortable. Keon White needs to be a part of this game plan. Dietrich Wise needs to be a part of this game plan. And maybe Yannick Ngakoue can chip in a little bit there. I don't really feel good about anything, if we're being honest.
Where's all this coming from?
I don't think the Patriots are playing as well as they think. Certainly not as well as you people think. I waited 11 minutes.
I was going to say you waited all of 11 minutes today.
Yep. But by the way, I'm the opposite of a rookie. You know how they say rookies are supposed to be seen and not heard? I'm heard and not seen today. I'm a veteran. I'm heard and not seen.
Maybe this is how you're best consumed. Who knows?
Or maybe I'm like Cartman when he played that character that I'm always hesitant to say his name, so I won't say his name. But
probably shouldn't. You know, no one needs to get canceled this early.
Now I'm over here. I'm over here picking the Rams.
I think this, you know, and the conditions on Sunday, for anyone curious, if you're going to the game, I think the house will be pretty good because, you know, Pat's given up. They lost the game to the Titans, but you got the signature Drake May recruitment play, as you called it.
Yep.
At the end of regulation, then they lose in overtime. Then they go on the road. They beat the abysmal Bears. And now I think the vibes will be a little more positive. It's going to be sunny and 60. It's going to be a lovely day at the old Razor. I bet you'll actually have a decent tailgate, good vibes in-house. I think in a lot of ways, the Rams make for the next perfect litmus test for this team. Like, you can definitely move the ball in the Rams. We'll see exactly what Alex Van Pelt and Drake May and everyone else involved in the collaborative offensive consortium have planned for the Rams defense. Now, you'll probably have the Patriots offensive line starting the same 5 guys for the second week in a row. Holy smokes, the same 5 guys. It's a miracle. What a time to be alive. You could be getting reinforcements, like you say, on the Patriots defense, but holy smokes, the Rams, if healthy, and Matt Stafford unharried, can definitely give any team in the NFL problems. I thought a few weeks ago the Rams were going to go on a run. Turns out I was wrong. It was actually the Arizona Cardinals that were going to get on an NFC West heater. Side note to the Cardinals, thank you for kicking the unholy crap out of the Jets last Sunday on a day that already had us all feeling good for the Patriots winning 19-3 in Chicago, making a mess of Caleb Williams and getting 9 sacks. That was the perfect dessert, chef's kiss style. The Jets are an absolute garbage fire at this point, and I love every second of it. Now back to our own particular garbage fire. Andy, are you at all concerned that there could be a little too much love coming from the local and national level for Drake May heading into a game against a slightly against a defense that can be had? Like you said, he hasn't had his stinker game yet. Is there any thinking that maybe this could be that game?
Absolutely.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
With that pass rush, Verse and those guys up front, they have a bunch of guys that can kind of get after it a little bit. This offensive line, you know, I think Gerard Mayo continues to build sort of false hope. With that offensive line, they're your offensive line for now. That's all they are. And you can put the best five guys out there and they're still not very good. But I don't really have any fear of Drake May. Like I continue to say, if everybody else could do their job as well as Drake May, I think this would be a pretty good football team. That includes all the coaches. That includes every player at every position. But I don't think there are all that many people that can do that right now for this team. So is Drake May going to try to make too many? The one thing I would say that could lead to an ugly game is if the Rams score a couple times and now all of a sudden you're chasing, you're passing more than you want to. They're pinning their ears back. Jared Verse, who is good no matter what, but you allow him to know it's passing situations, is dangerous. And, you know, maybe Drake May doesn't sneak out of there quite the successfully way, you know, quite the success level he's done early in the year. Because I will say, if you go back and watch a lot of his runs, there's a lot of runs that he just kind of pulls his ankle out of a tackle, like an arm tackle, or like just beats a guy out of the backfield and then picks up 10, 12 yards, whatever. Well, what if he gets tackled for a 1 yard loss two or three times instead of being able to do that with his legs? So, no, I don't really have a lot of worries about Drake May. You know, I'm a maniac. I'm a homer. I'm whatever you want to call me. They have a quarterback. They have a cornerback. And other than that, I don't know. They have a lot to prove. And I also wonder how they handle success. I know Gerard Mayo talked about
that,
it this week.
That's a big one. That's like, a big one.
I want to see how they try to, because they keep talking about we haven't had a win streak and we've lost multiple games in a row. We haven't won multiple games in a row. And, you know, you had a very willing victim in the Bears. I don't think the Rams are quite the willing victim, starting with the coach. Like we talked about earlier, that McVay, he's a good coach. He's a good young coach. And they have good young talent and they have veteran talent, and there's a lot of things to like about the Rams. I think people look at them. They played an ugly game last week. There's no avoiding that. And their record is sub 500. No avoiding that. But I think they're better than the Dolphins game, and I think they're better than their record.
I would agree with both of those points as well. And I would be slightly concerned that the Pats could potentially read their own clippings and get into the vibes and overestimate exactly how big it was beating a team like the Bears that's in complete disarray. But at the same time, we can look to what a mess all these other quarterback situations are. The Colts go from Richardson to old man Flacco, now back to Richardson. Caleb Williams is a mess. Bo Nix is playing fine, but he's not exactly the main reason why the Broncos are winning, whereas Drake May is the undisputed leader and one of the reasons why the Patriots are staying competitive in these games and giving the fans a reason to watch as well. Jaden Daniels obviously continues to be an MVP candidate and an easy runaway for Rookie of the Year. And that should make for a really fun game tonight as well with Commanders versus Eagles. The one thing that really kind of throws me still, I don't get what they're doing at the receiver position. I like the tight end thing. Jaheim Bell got a few looks last week. Maybe he'll slowly become part of the offensive picture. That's great to see. Hoopa getting involved was kind of nice. And we always know Hunter Henry is clockwork and as dependable as your favorite sandwich from your local deli. But the receiver situation, I know you have talked up the T. Higgins thing. It's trying to sign a bunch of guys in the offseason, maybe drafting another one as well. But for right now, you got who you got, and that's what you get. Which veteran gets played this week? Who gets to sit down so the young guys play? I don't know, and that's just every time Gerard Mayo seems to be doing mostly everything right, they make another decision that leaves us all going, why the hell did you do that?
Yeah, and I didn't understand last week the benching, DNPing, whatever you want to call it, of Bourne to go with the young guys, but then the young guys includes a crap ton of reps for Osborne, and I don't like it. If you're going to go young, go young. I'm fine with it. If you want to put Baker and Thornton and those guys out there, even though they're not the best guys, but like once and for all, decide on Thornton, what he is. Decide he's not part of any future, that he's not that good. I'm fine with that. But the mixed messaging, and I continue to don't really get why Osborne plays over Bourne and like that whole thing. I haven't liked his attitude. He hasn't really shown spark. Now, obviously, we don't see practices. Maybe he's practicing his ass off and been so good that they just can't not play him. And maybe Bourne has been so bad that they just can't play him. Like, I'll leave that door open. I haven't seen it, so I can't totally discount that. But I would not be handling the wide receiver position the way they are. Real quick, I need to answer a question in the chat.
Yes, there, please. Of course. That's what we're here for.
Old man Knob. Oh, no. Mob. Sorry. That was Knob. He says,
somebody please save that drop.
He says, May needs to slide feet first and stop sliding head first. I could not disagree more. And I think he agrees with me because you heard him yesterday answer questions about sliding. And he said, well, I slid once and I got a concussion. So I'm not going to, you know, he didn't actually extend the sentence, but I thought it was interesting that he ties slid once, missed time. Going head first, haven't missed time. And we've talked a little bit about this, Fitzy. I know Jim Mora Jr. is doing it at UConn. He doesn't believe in sliding. I don't believe in sliding. I've seen too many cases of
except sliding. When it's into DMs, yes.
True. Now, I think guys like Tom Brady should slide because they're going to slide early. They're not looking to make plays with their legs. They're looking to avoid contact. So those guys should slide. But I think Josh Allen's and Drake Mays and whoever else, you know, Lamar Jackson's, they're too good athletically to give up the yards, and they're too smart athletically to have to slide. You go head first. You control where your contact point is. You control where your head is.
Right.
And it just makes it safer, in my opinion. And I think Drake May has learned that and believes that as an athletic competitor. And I agree 100% with him. I don't want him sliding because I think he's going to slide late because he's going to compete. So when you slide late, you put yourself as just – you're a sitting duck. You're just those shots come and guys dive over the top. Sometimes you catch a forearm in the throat. Sometimes you catch a helmet in the helmet. I could not be more against quarterbacks who are athletic sliding.
I hear you on all that. And please, audience, try not to misread when Andy said sometimes you catch a helmet in the helmet.
It happens. And
that's why we wear protective gear.
Here's what it is, right? Who am I to question what people are doing? Who am I to question?
Two good questions, Andy, before we get to our predictions and wrap this puppy up. Delusional Patriots fan wants to know, do you think that Gerard Mayo is more sympathetic to older NFL players?
I'm not more sympathetic to old NFL players.
Because he himself, an NFL veteran now who probably wishes he could still strap him up and get out there himself. Do you think like he's easier on the older guys because he himself played and knows what it's like to be getting up there, even though he only played for 8 years? It's an interesting question. I don't necessarily feel like I have a feel for that one way or the other.
I almost never lack in an opinion. I generally feel strongly about even little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have an answer for this. I don't know. I would say, first of all, he didn't really have a lot of old players. Like, he's got his Jonathan Joneses, and he's got his Dietrich Wises. He's got a really young team. He's got a lot of guys playing.
They're in the middle of the, believe it or not, though, they're actually sort of in the middle of the pack in terms of age, NFL-wise.
No, I know, but I'm just talking about guys who play. Like, I don't know that I think of too many guys as old players. I guess Godshaw at this point, Kendrick Bourne at this point. I don't know. He hasn't helped Kendrick Bourne. He benched him. So I don't know. I don't have a strong answer.
And your known nemesis and arch rival in the commentary and chat box, Jeff Stenberg. Hey, are we expecting too much from the wide receivers? It took Edelman a couple years to learn behind Welker before he really started to develop. Maybe we should cut Butte, Polk, and Baker a break.
Or maybe we should just cut them. Oh!
Just stay frozen there. You know what? Actually, here's what I'll do. I'll actually take you out for a second and see if that restarts your video. Nope. Okay, we tried.
It's so funny because I have a little box to the left of my whole setup screen that says, you're in the show. Everyone can see and hear you. You're full of crap. They can't.
This is a wild time. I mean, yes, cut them some slack. Booty is evolving nicely before our eyes. Baker, no contributions. And at least Polk got into the end zone last week as well, which was good. I would love to see him string two positive weeks in a row. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean getting into the end zone. But if, how about this? If Jalen Polk doesn't drop a ball Sunday, maybe emerges with
three catches
on five targets for 50 yards. That's a step in the right direction. I also think Pop Douglas is starting to string together a couple of good games in a row as well. He's developing nicely. Like I said, the tight end room is doing their job. It'd be nice to also see the run game continue. I don't want to see them regress back to 1.6 or 1.8 yards per carry and have to fight for everything upon first contact. These are some of the other like little details that it'll be fun to watch on Sunday. I think it's going to be a four-quarter game myself. Let's get to our predictions. Someone just asked in the chat, what is the spread on this week's game? Well, I will tell you, friends, and thanks for staying tuned this long to the latest and greatest Six Rings in Football Things podcast. The Rams are a 5-point favorite, according to all of your favorite sports books. The over-under on the game, 44 total. Hart, what do you got for a prediction?
So, I mean, people that were listening understand I kind of articulated various ways where I think this is a tough matchup. Other than being at home, I think pretty much everything else favors the Rams. I think it's a bigger divide than even Vegas would put it at. So I'm going to say Rams 30, Patriots 13. I think that defensive front gives the Patriots offensive line problems. I think that is the leaping off point for the analysis of this game is Verse and Fisk and those guys. I think they're going to dominate the Patriots offensive line. I think Drake May's probably going to be running for his life, which is normal, but I think he's probably going to be running for his life in a comeback attempt, which is even harder. So I think there's probably going to be a strip sack or there's going to be a deflected pick, maybe even a pick six. I don't think Drake May is going to be overly cheery when he joins the WEEI afternoon show next Monday, because I think it's going to be coming off sort of a lesson learned in life kind of game this week.
Wow. Okay. So Verse and Chapter, the Rams come in and dominate the Patriots on Sunday would be your headline for Hart, making our way to the Six Rings postgame show on Sunday. Well, I said a couple weeks back that I was never picking the Patriots again this season, that I needed to learn my lesson, which is exactly why I'm going against my word and offering up a thriller of a game. The Rams do successfully move the ball. It's not as tough a day for Christian Gonzalez as it is the rest of the Patriots secondary, and we hope the safety position can get healthier sooner than later. Maybe we'll actually see Kyle Duggar for the first time in a month on Sunday as well. The Pats will get behind. They'll generate a little pressure on Sunday. And yes, there will be some pressure back in the face of Drake May. I'm ready for a signature Drake May game-winning drive. Give me in a shocker right here. Well, maybe not a shocker. A slight upset by point standards lines. And an over. Give me the Patriots 24, Rams 23. A fun four-quarter affair in the midfall at Gillette Stadium. Let's see if we have any predictions from our friends here in the chat box. Nope. Everyone's just looking forward to a good game as well. All right. There you are, folks. That's what we got today for you here on our preview and prediction pod for Rams at Patriots this Sunday. Don't forget, you can listen to Andy and Christian Arcan
every afternoon on the WEEI Afternoon Show.
He's at Jumbo Hart 2 to 6 every day as well. I'll be on tonight with Chris Scheim from 6 to 7:30 to get you guys all pumped, jacked, and hyped up. Then I'll be on Saturday with Scheim from 12 to 3 significant gambling segment as well. Hey, by the way, what do you think about John Gruden signing a multi-year deal with Barstool Sports?
I like it. I mean, I know
they're going to pay him to go off, right?
Like, there's issues there. There's baggage, but the guy's entertaining. I think he kind of got railroaded by people in the league. So I like it. And I think that's a good fit for him. Let him just F around in their world and kind of, if you don't like him, that's fine. You don't, it's not like he's on ESPN or like they're forcing him down your throat. He's in kind of a niche world. And if you want to avoid him, you can, but otherwise he gets an opportunity to love football and be energetic and entertain people.
Last question. If Barmore looks good and wants to play, do you let him play for a few snaps this weekend?
This weekend? No.
All right. You keep him on the bench.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get in football shape that fast. And I think that's a recipe for some, and not necessarily health-wise. I'm assuming he is totally cleared health-wise. I'm just saying, like, to get into football shape over the course of 3 or 4 days, and I think that would be dumb. Very dumb.
Yeah, as much as we would like to, it's a feel-good story to hear that he's practicing again and that he's back and he will play the season coming off of the blood clot issue. He will be wreaking havoc on the field as opposed to behind the wheel sometime soon, but I think with the slow play would probably be the wise play indeed. All right, Andy, get you to a radio station. Everybody, get you to a lunch or whatever you need as we approach the midday on Thursday, November 13th. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for everything. Don't forget, tell your friends. Follow us on Spotify, the Odyssey app, Apple Pods, or wherever awesome football talk can be found. Take care of yourselves, everybody. God bless. We will talk to you soon, somewhere, somehow. And, of course, on the Six Rings postgame show, Sunday, right after Rams at Pats. Let's go.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.